Boy, would you, couldn't help it, man. I was drawn to that third verse. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Well, I wonder how many of us have that relationship with our God this morning. How many of us really have that kind of relationship that we look at as a friend with friend? Boy, you can't do that if you're not living right. If you're living wrong, you can't commune with the Lord as a friend. You just can't do it. And you don't look at it as pure delight. Most people, you know, it's not sweet hour of prayer. We're lucky if it's 15 or 20 seconds of praying. Yeah, so boy, what a difference it would make for us. That's the first sermon. That's kind of a sermonette. We'll get to the main one now. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6, if you will. This morning, looking at another great question. A lot of questions asked in the Bible. And this morning, we're going to look at the question that's probably asked by more people of God than any other one. This one today. I mean, this is the one people ask. Most of you here have asked. Hey, I want to tell you, I've asked this question. I've asked God this question. Amen. And most of us have, okay? Most of us have at some point in life. If you haven't, you will, or you'll sure be tempted to. And you'll be tempted to ask this question. So, verse 11, if you will, Judges chapter 6. The Bible said, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abed-Ezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You see that simple question there in verse 13? Why? Why? You ever asked God that? Well, I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, preacher, why'd God do this? Why did God do that? Usually, and often, maybe most often, it's in some tragic situation. For instance, this past Monday, Mrs. Sharp killed in a car accident. Preacher, why did that happen? Here's a lady serving God with her family, faithful to God. Why did God take her? Why did that happen? Man, we've asked that question, all right? You know, I've talked to other preachers, related the same thing, and he said, man, they have a lot of people that come, and they want to know why. Why? Here's Gideon. Gideon had that question. Here he is. The Bible tells us he's living in the land of Israel. He's threshing his wheat, but he's not doing it the way you would normally thresh wheat. You would normally thresh wheat. You'd have people around with you, helping you. And usually in that day, they'd have maybe animals walk across it, and then they'd get under and they'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away and just let the wheat fall down. But Gideon's not threshing it that way. He's by himself, and he's doing it hiding. The Bible said there in verse 11, he's to hide it from the Midianites. He's by the wine press threshing wheat. He's flailing it by hand, all right? He didn't want the Midianites to steal it from him. The nation of Israel going through the land of Israel in that time was oppressed by the Midianites. They took what they wanted. They took the best. And so he's hiding it so he'd have food to eat. And in that situation, this angel shows up and says to him the words we find there in verse 12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's answer is, why? If that's true, why has all this befallen us? If the Lord's with us, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Listen, I don't profess this morning to know the answer to that question in every case and in every situation, not by any stretch. But I believe there's some scriptural reasons that we can see that'll be a help to us. If you've never asked this question, you've been very fortunate, because most people have asked it at some point in life. There have been times that I've asked that question, Lord, why? Why did you do that? Now you say, well, maybe when your dad died. No, hey, dad's full of years, lived a good life, served the Lord. He's ready to go home. I didn't say, Lord, why'd you take him? He was ready to go, ready to go. When mom died, it wasn't, Lord, why'd you do that? Be honest with you, it was, Lord, thank you for doing it the way you did it. Thank you for taking mom. It was quick, painless. She was here, she was gone, and she was in the presence of God. Now, it was a shock for us, but man, it wasn't, why'd you do that, Lord? It's, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it the way you did it and spared us having to watch her waste away, maybe. Man, I didn't mind that at all. But boy, there's been occasions where I've said, Lord, why? Why'd you do that? Well, there's some reasons. I want you to see some with me. Take your Bible. I want you to go to two places. First, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. That means go back towards the front of your Bible just a little bit in Judges and find Deuteronomy chapter 29. Now, once you find Deuteronomy 29, hold your hand there, but God gave you two, all right? So, and you can put your thumb, see, I've got my thumb in Judges 6 and the rest of my hand in Deuteronomy, because I'm coming back to Judges before we get done today. I want you to go then, hold in that place in Deuteronomy. I want you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a reason, and there are several reasons, I believe, why God does some of the things that he does. And he's let us in on them in the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you want to know why? Say, I'd like to understand this a little bit better. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, would you look in verse 12? For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Hey, now we see through a glass darkly. Boy, sometimes we ask why, because and the reason the Lord does some of the things is to make us understand that we do not know and we cannot know it all right? Why? Because our perspective, we just see through that glass darkly. If you've ever looked through, it's kind of like looking through, I don't even know what you call it, but I've seen the glass, you know, through the door, and you maybe in a door, and you can see through it, but you really can't. In other words, the only thing you can see is shadows. You know what I'm talking about? And that glass is there, and you can tell, well, I know there's somebody in there moving around, but there's no way I could recognize who it is. Well, maybe that's the same kind of deal. Hey, we see through a glass darkly. We do not know, my friend, everything God knows, all right? He's God. He's God. If he wouldn't be much of a God if man knew everything, all right, that God knew. I mean, he'd just be like you and me if that's all that he knew. Well, I don't think he could help me very much, all right? But he knows more than me, and he needs to know more than me. And you and I, we see through a glass darkly right now. We can't understand it all. There's things that happen that make us wonder why. Why? Well, we see through that glass darkly. But now go over to Deuteronomy chapter 29 in the same vein, in the same thought pattern, if you will. Verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The Bible tells us there's some secret things. They belong to God. They belong to God. Hey, listen, have any of you ever made a statement, well, if I'd have known then what I know now? Now, we've said that. If you've lived any amount of time, you've thought that. Well, if I had known then what I know now, hey, I'd be rich. Because I would have invested in some of those stocks that have just shot through the roof, all right? You know, some of those that just got in on, but I got in on the bottom level with Apple. Invested my savings, $57. Even that would have done good, all right? Hey, man, boy, if I'd have just known. Well, you didn't. You didn't. Hey, if I'd have known what it was going to be, I'd have bought a house a long time before I bought a house. Man, if I'd have just known that houses over here where I lived for about 16, 17 years on a McGregor, those houses, when they sold new, were less than $30,000. And I'd have scraped and figured some way to buy a house, because now you can't touch one for about $180,000. Just had to hold on to it a little while, all right? Pay the taxes. Well, if I'd have just known. But how many things would you say, but if I'd have just known this, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah. Well, we didn't. We see through a glass darkly. There's some secret things. They belong to God. We ask why. It's good to remind ourselves, hey, we can come right up to some things, but we can't go any further because that's all we know. And that's all God's going to let us see right now. We can't go any further than that unless God wants us to know it. Say, why? Well, maybe God doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know that. I don't know how many times I've told my kids, because. When they said, why? Because. Now, you should have been here last Sunday night or listened to the message last Sunday night. You'd have helped you with that because, all right? But, hey, man, I've told my kids that many times. Well, why'd you do that? Well, because that's what my dad told me. And I didn't understand then, but I do now. Now, I don't usually tell my kids now because. I tell my grandkids now because. All right? But there was things they didn't need to know. They couldn't have handled it. Hey, when I was a kid, I couldn't have handled some things. Boy, we see through a glass darkly. That's why. That's why. But that's not all. There's other reasons. Hey, sometimes it's a matter of sin and judgment. Go back there to, I told you, hang on to your place there in Judges 6. That's the way it was in Gideon's day. If you're back there in Judges chapter 6, look in verse 10, would you? God's been speaking there, and he sent a prophet to the nation to speak to him. And he comes down there in verse 10, and he said, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Gideon, you know, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. Well, if that's so, why has this happened? Sin. Sin. Now listen, every problem that comes up and all suffering is not the direct result of sin. But I'll tell you, some of it is, all right? We do know that God's going to judge sin. You cannot sin and figure nothing will happen. Well, you can figure that, but it won't work. Because the Bible tells us in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Hey, listen, sin's going to be judged. Sin will be judged. You can count on it. It comes with a price. Sin always has a price. You're going to pay that price. I don't care who you are, don't care where you live. There's a price associated with sin. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're a churchgoer or not a churchgoer, there's a price you're going to pay for sin. And it's going to bring the judgment of God. That's what happened in Gideon's day. They had sinned. They had ignored the word of God. Hey, that's what's going on today. Well, no, say, preacher, why is a lot of these things going on today? Because of God's judgment. God's judgment. Hey, man, I pray continually, Lord, give us mercy. We need your mercy. We're calling upon you for mercy. Listen, if things go wrong and we don't get that mercy, I'm not going to complain because we're getting what we deserve. Really, as a nation, we basically turned our back on God. We've thumbed our nose at him and what his word says. And we've said, I can do anything I want to, and it's okay. And we'll vote on it. We'll make it. Doesn't make it right. I don't care who votes on it. Doesn't make it right. And we're going to suffer. we're going to suffer. So when we wonder why, a lot of times it's because of sin. We know that the sins of a few can bring suffering on the many. On the many. Hey, it's not always. I tell you, folks, God's a merciful God. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, He's a long-suffering God. But He is also a jealous God. And He will punish sin. He will punish sin. He's not going to let man get away with it. Much of the suffering that's in our world today is because of the sin of a few. Folks, I'm going to tell you, innocent people suffer. Innocent people suffer. Happens repeatedly. Every time you hear of a drunk driver going the wrong way on a freeway, having a wreck, have you ever noticed how many times it's the person going the right way that gets killed? It's the person going the right way that gets killed. Innocent people suffer because of the sins of that guilty one. When we talk about it, we look at it, that's unfortunate, but it is true. We won't ask God why. Well, because of sin and judgment. Because of sin and judgment. Some of the times when people want to stop and say why, some of us that are asking why ought to stop and say, well, what about me, though? Is it my fault? Is it my fault? A sin's going to bring God's judgment. You can count on it. So why does it happen? Well, we see through a glass darkly. God's not going to let us know everything. But also because of sin and God's judgment on sin. But I believe there's another reason that it's so. Take your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded of this biblical truth, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to look with me at one verse here. The Bible says in verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is. Would you look at that next word? Common to man. It's common to man. Look, it's a common thing for people to ask why. That is a common thing. It's a common question, all right? It's been asked by a multitude of people, by numerous times, by numerous people, down through the history of man, it's been. The things that have happened to us and caused us to say why have happened to other people and caused them to ask why. They've asked the same question, if you will. David asked why. Elijah asked why. The prophets asked why. Gideon asked why. In Job chapter 31, chapter 3 and verse 11, Job said, why died I not from the womb? Man, all the trouble he had, Job said, why didn't I just die when I was born? He asked why. Can I remind you, there's another one that asked why. Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a common question. It's a common thing. It's not new. What has happened to you has happened to other people. What has caused you to ponder that question and ask that question has happened to others. Now, you may not consider that a comfort, but the truth is there's just some experiences we go through. And they're there. We don't understand them. We don't understand the reason for them. But they're not going to go away because we don't understand them. They're not going to disappear and think, well, hey, fine. No, it's not going to happen that way. They're just there. It's good for us to be reminded we're like other people. We go through the same thing they do. You know, some people get the idea, and some false teachers give you the thought that if you'll get saved and you're living right, that you'll never have a problem. That is as unscriptural as anything could possibly be. That would tell me that the Apostle Paul must have been one lousy Christian. Man, he had trouble. All kinds of trouble. He was in and out of jail. They stoned him, left him for dead, shipwrecked. He even said, Lord, I've got a thorn in the flesh and I'm asking you to take it away from me. And he said, I did that three times. God wouldn't do it. Why? Because of demon? No. It's part of life, folks. Things happen to us that happen to you and happen to me that happen to everybody else. You're not the only person that's had something occur and you say, why? But there's something else I want you to consider. I'm going to say this verse, and some of you familiar with your Bible are going to go, huh? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I want to tell you something. Romans 8, 28, God can and does bring good things out of the suffering and problems of man. He can and he does do that. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Preacher, why did God take Mrs. Sharp on Monday? I don't know, but I know this, all things work together for good. God's able to bring good out of things that you and I might never think so. But he's able to do it. He's able to take the tragedy we go through and bring something good out of it. That great hymn that we sing and love to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul," was born out of tragedy. Tragedy. The one who wrote it lost his wife and children. But God gave him that song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like great billows roll." Hey, he said, "It's well with my soul. It's well with my soul." Listen, God's able to take some things, those times and those situations that we go, why? God's able to take them and make something good out of them. You see, God has a plan. God has a plan, and it's his own plan today. He's working that plan. And it is a better plan than yours. It is a better plan than mine. It's just better. He knows. He's not obligated to explain it. And he's not obligated to reveal all of it to you and me. He just doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to reveal it to us at any given moment of time. But I guarantee you, he's working his plan. There have been numerous times I've known of missionaries. There was a missionary family going to Tibet. The whole family on the way in, the plane crashed, killed all of them. Never got there. You say, why'd that happen? I don't know, but God's working his plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. I can tell you about a girl that I knew as a teenager. And I knew her mom and dad. And I watched her, and she had a sister and a brother. Knew all of them. Our school years ago played them in volleyball, and she was on the volleyball team on the other side. They got beat, obviously. But anyway, she was on the team on the other side and went away to Bible college, met a man, and they got married. They went to Mexico as missionaries. They're in language school, and he was killed in a car wreck in Mexico. So why'd that happen, preacher? I don't know, but God's working his plan. God's working his plan. God's doing it, all right? Can I tell you this? That's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. We find out who really trusts God when the question of why comes up. We find it out. Would you take your Bible back? We're going to be done. Back to Judges chapter 6. I want you to notice the answer that was given to Gideon to the question of why. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to see the answer was given to him. Verse 13, Gideon said, "If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Here's God's answer. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" You ever stop and think, what kind of answer to that is why? If the question is why, what kind of answer is that? I mean, come on. Here he's been asked the question, man, why is all, if what you're saying, if God's with me, why has all this happened? God's answer is, you get up and do what I told you. You do what I told you. Friend, I'll say this to you. When the problem comes, the tragedy, maybe whatever it might be, when it comes and we ask that question, why, it is not time to give up, it's not time to quit, and it's not time to run away. When Gideon asked, God gave him a command rather than an answer. God didn't answer the question the way Gideon wanted it, but instead God gave him a command. You say, why? Would you think with me just a little bit here? It's in the time of storm that the ship is tested, not on the calm sea. It's in the storm. And your life's tested in the storm, not when everything's just ducky. Hey, when such storms come, then it is a time of the testing of your faith. To try your faith, all right? It was in the worst of the storm there in Acts when Paul stood up and spoke to his shipmates. Everybody, the Bible had already told us, all hope that they'd be saved was gone. And Paul stood up and said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It's going to be okay. Listen, it's in the testing. That's when you get the answer and the help you need. It's in those times when you look around and you think, could be no reason for this, but there is a reason. God's working and God's doing something. Those are the times, my friend, for the believer to show the world that their faith is real. Hey, I believe God. Gideon had the opportunity to obey the command of God or to say no. You ain't going to tell me why I'm not doing it. But instead, Gideon, by faith, trusted God. And God used him to bring forth a tremendous victory. Tremendous victory. Did you ever stop to think that God allowed you to go through those testing times where you say, why? So one day you could have the ability to comfort somebody else that's going through the same kind of situation. And you can wrap your arm around them and say to them, listen, God will get you through. I know He can because He's done it for me. He'll bring you through. So, well, I want to know why. Now we see through a glass darkly. The secret things belong to God, belong to Him. But we do know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Don't we profess to love Him? You say, preacher, is it a sin to ask why? No. But it's a sin for you to get mad and quit because God doesn't tell you. Sometimes it's just because. You got to take it. You got to stop and realize He knows better than I do. He knows better than I do. We just have to trust Him. Just have to trust Him. I can remember when as a kid, we'd go to the doctor. There's two doctors in Vidalia, Georgia, and one of them had one remedy. The only remedy he knew came in a syringe. And it was, he had a shot for everything. When mom or dad said, well, you're going to the doctor, my brother and I, first question, which one? Which one are we going to? You see, the other one, he knew there was a thing called medicine that did not have to come out of a syringe. And there was a possibility if you'd go to him, you wouldn't get a shot. And as a kid, that's what we feared above everything else. Thing that bothers me is I see adults now that can't handle a needle. But anyway, hey, that's where we'd go. But you know what? In that day, the thing I never could understand why is why medicine had to taste the way it tasted. Nowadays, boy, you bring home the medicine, the kids say, we got to take medicine. Oh, good. Yeah. Man, we prepared ourselves as kids. Okay, I've got to take it. Thing is to get it down fast as you can. Don't let it lay on your tongue any longer than absolutely necessary, because we know it's going to taste like the pits, all right? It is just not going to taste good. And boy, we'd down as fast as we could, you know. Try to, if there was any way, could you throw it back there so it doesn't land on my tongue, all right? That liquid, nastiest tasting mess in the world. Why? Why can't you give me something that tastes good? But you know what? I had to trust the doctor. I tell you, I've got a God in heaven that I trust a whole lot more than I trust the doctor. There's things I don't understand. There's things that happen that make me say, why? Why? Can I say this to you? When that happens to you, would you do this? Instead of causing you to turn away from God, it ought to motivate you to trust Him more, to believe Him. He hasn't forsaken. He hasn't forgotten you. Oh, He didn't do maybe what you wanted. He didn't do it the way you wanted, but He's still there. He's still there. He's still in control, and He's still able. Still able. I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king. They said, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, said, if He chooses not to, we still won't bow down to your image. Could I say to you, boy, that ought to be us. Amen. That ought to be us. Hasn't God done enough for you to cause you to say thank Him? Thank Him for what He's done. My friend, don't say this to you. If you're sitting here this morning and you know if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, He's done enough for you already. He said, well, why can't He do? Hey, you're not going to get hell, and that's what you deserve. Man, I'm just glad I'm not going. I'm not going to get what I deserve. You aren't either. Isn't that enough to make you want to serve Him? Preacher, is it wrong to ask why? No, but as you're asking, just keep trusting Him. Lord, I don't understand why, but I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. I don't know why these things are happening. I realize, Lord, maybe I can't, and the secret things do belong to You. But, Lord, I'm counting on You to work it out for good. Just counting on You to do that. Listen, I believe He does. I believe He will. You said, why? Because I believe God. Now, what do you believe? Do you really believe Him this morning? Well, listen, maybe you sit here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you hear a message like this and you think, why in the world would I want to do that? And why would I want to go through it? Hey, listen, if you'd been saved, you could understand a little better. You can understand a little better. Oh, He'll save your soul if you'll come to Him. He'll save your soul. Listen, you're here. Maybe today there's something going on and you're thinking, why? Why? Why don't you just come down the aisle this morning, kneel at the altar, and say, Lord, I'm Yours. I'll do what You want me to do. God said, Gideon, Gideon, get up. And you go where I show you. You're going to lead My people out. You're going to throw off the oppressor of Midian. You're going to do it. And he did it with 300 people. Why? Because he believed God. He didn't dwell on the why. But it was more, Lord, what? That's where our focus ought to be. Where's your focus this morning? Where's your focus? Heavenly Father, and I pray You to help us today. Lord, it's easy for us to ask why. We want to know all the answers. But Lord, I want to know all the answers. But I realize, Lord, that there are some things maybe I don't need to know. And it's not for me to know, it's things that You know. But Lord, above everything else, I'm to trust You. I'm to believe that You're going to work it out for good. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, help folks that are here that have doubted You to come and realize and recognize You're in control. You're working out Your plan, and it's better than ours. Lord, if there's just one here this morning that's never been born again, would you help them to come today? Help them to walk down this aisle, meet me here at the front and say, "Preacher, I want to trust the Savior. Deal with us now today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen." Would you stand this morning as we sing the invitation hymn? "Just as I am, without one plea, that's the way to come. Here I am, Lord. I have a need. I need you. Would you help me?" Oh, listen, it's easy for us to ask why, but how much better it is for us to trust Him. Say, "Lord, I know you're in control." As we sing the invitation this morning, if you need to come, you come. If you need to speak to me, I'll meet you here at the front. Come on while we sing.